Okay, so it's the next report that we bring, which is the final one. This is a bit more of a backward looking in terms of where we got to in the last year. So to remind colleagues, because I know that Lisa has been here before, the Better Care Fund finds its genesis in the 2015 spending review. And in that spending review, government stated that by 2020, health and social care will be more, it's a very important word, more fully integrated across the entirety of England. So what Better Care Fund plans at its simplest must do is to set out how clinical commission groups and local authorities work towards that integration and better coordinated care across its wide services. The Better Care plans for submissions going on a quarterly basis to NHSE, and what those narrative plans must set out is the joint vision and approach to integration and include how the work in the BCF complements the direction of travel, which was set out in Next Steps in 5 Year Forward Views. There are, what we have to do is a 2 year plan, straddling 2017 through 19, and there are four national conditions that that plan has to satisfy. I'm just going to remind us what they are because they're quite important. So the BCF must include the minimum contribution to a pooled fund specified in the BCF allocations, and it must be signed off for its BCF allocations, which is from the authority perspective, because the disabilities and cities are DFG. So there are a number of budgets which are specified against this. It must ensure that the minimum contribution from those allocations go into the BCF, and it's going to be signed off by this board as well as by local authorities and CCG's boards. Secondly, and this is really key, in the era of austerity, it's got to be a demonstration of how the area will maintain in real terms the level of spending on social care services from the CCG's minimum contribution to the fund, which is in line with inflation. Thirdly, the national condition is that a specific proportion of the fund is invested in NHS commissioned out-of-hospital services. And then finally, the BCF must show how it's implementing the high impact change model around managing transfers of care. So that's the national strategy outline. We are awaiting, it's fair to say, from NHSE, the guidance for this year, 1920 and beyond. What I have on good authority is that the green paper, because the NHS long-term plan doesn't have a lot to say about this, but and the green paper is at its 15th edition, I was told yesterday, what's something you know, and it is going to be recommending some key changes around the BCF, the title apparently being one. So we can expect to see some changes as well moving forward. So basically, what the Better Care Fund shows, it links in very obviously with our local care board, but it is about how are we working together? Are we putting our money where our mouths are? Sorry to use a very sort of basic phrase, hopefully not rude. If we're saying something is an ambition around integration, keeping people out of hospitals, are the resources and is the commissioning and are the programmes of work sufficiently of the right level of granularity being monitored and being implemented? And thirdly, what this BCF must do is to really give a very clear view of the so what factor in terms of improved outcomes for those who serve. So the report in front of you is a backward-looking report. It sets out what levels have gone in terms of our pooled funds and the values. It gives you a little bit of background, like I said, around pages 2 and 3 and strategic context on 3 and 4. And most importantly, however, it's Appendix A, which sets out the various schemes into which the Better Care Fund has been sort of allocated and ordered by our own local planning. The Better Care Fund was given a really, really important fillip in terms of the improved Better Care Fund, which was announced as part of the Spring Budget 2017. For us, that meant an additional £6 million coming into our local system. Three things that IBCF must deliver. It must support people getting out of hospital and delays in detox. I think that's going to be part of the reframe of the Medicare Fund. I think I would expect to see an awful lot more moving forward around length of stay in Medicare Fund, whereas immediately it focuses on detox. And as a system, across 2017-18, we exceeded. As a system, our NHSE targets, it's fair to say, over the last 2.5 months, we are struggling badly. But I think we can expect to see some of that. So what you've got, Appendix A here, going from our locality community model. Sorry, there is a word missing on page 67, which is hospital to home. So my apologies that that's missing. We've done a load of work around ensuring that we're using digital assistive technology. It's been £500,000 of the IBCF invested into that. Re-ablement has been a key priority for us. You can see different work programs there set out at C8 and C9. From the CCG's perspective, there's been about using three care homes to provide some bed packages, but also additional investment in the community. Within the local authority, again, through the use of IBCF, we've seen a tripling of investment into re-ablement and reframing. And then you've got the integrated mental health provision, which I know is dear to many people's hearts at this particular table. We've had the blueprint, which has come through this board. We've now got the business case around moving this forward and making much more reality of the rhetoric. We've had the learning disability transformation program as well. Some huge progress there. I'm really proud of this. 80% reduction. Between April 17 and December 18, in terms of the rate of capital admissions into residential care for people with no disabilities in asylum, because we're using supported living, we're using shared lives, which we've introduced, all of that. So it's a big progress around LD, just about ensuring that people with LD live a life rather than just receive a service. And then some really important work that's been done around the variety of vulnerable people that we work with, about gaining access into employment. So some good work that's been done. There's going to be a scramble, I think it's the word that I would use. I'm not sure, you know, Martin, I'm sure will want to come in as well in a minute. There'll be a scramble in terms of once we get new guidance out about the Better Care Fund moving forward, or whatever it's renamed and reframed it into. I'm sure we'll end up getting about a 6-week period of time, but we will therefore, depending on when we receive that from NHSE, we will have to secure the sign-off of this board. So we may, depending on what that timing looks like, need to have to do that virtually, all call together an extraordinary one single item meeting, however chair, vice chair, you wish to deal with that.
Thank you, Carol. I'd like Martin to come and say just a couple of points. One, for the information board, I signed off the current quarter of the UCF press screen. Obviously, we're not strictly campus, so it might be, I'll speak to our chair of Public Health Scrutiny, they might like to just have a look at the spending of the BCF, that might be a useful bit of scrutiny in the health and format, and some other approvals that might be handy. So I would like to echo that good news point that you raised there, about 80%. One of the challenges we know has been trying to have people where we want them to be rather than where they want to be. And that's probably the hard work for a lot of people. The only other point I wanted to make, I attended a meeting with a large number of professionals at the hospital a few days ago, I'm at the same point now, and some of the financial challenges facing the NHS Trust and others is a challenge, and it's probably the best way I can put it. And I think anything we can do to support our colleagues in meeting their plans and performing out now through some work they've had done, we'd be very keen to see us send that message, because their problem is our problem, I think we should do too. Martin, do you want to come on?
Yes, please, thank you. So I think it's a really good place for us to start. And Carol's done a very good job of getting us to this point. I'm really, really pleased with the inclusion of the CHC resources. That demonstrates that we're really integrating as a system and stopping patients from falling between two organisational forms. So that's really positive. I think as we progress forward, back to the public health conversation earlier on, as we get more information, more data, then it starts to change and challenge some of the perceptions that we have. So we know that the population of the island is not, whilst it's older than the UK average, it's not older than the peer group. But what is different is that our population here, a lot of the old people live on their own. So that means that the social infrastructure support them once they come out of hospital is going to have to be reviewed. We're going to have to look very carefully at that. So I think as a start of the 10, I mean, I know it's been going on for some years now, but there's been numerous conversations across colleagues for the health and social care system for this is what we're doing at the moment, but we're going to have to change certain elements of it, not from any sort of philosophical perspective or financial perspective, but we're starting to get much better understanding of what the population actually needs. So that's a good thing. As and when the resources and the guidance is made available, then clearly we'll work together very quickly to resolve that. Another one observation I have in the paper, and that's the, on page 6, it says option 2. I don't know what option 2 is, maybe outside this meeting will just be shared, because it said that it protects the position for the CCG and the council.
Really grateful, and I should pick it up, so thank you for picking up. I don't think there's an option to do it, but there was. This was we've used previous papers in terms of previous updates, okay. As we spoke across this, so and Laura are going to do that in very short order, so I'm hugely grateful to her.
Martin, thank you. Does anyone else want to come in? Yeah. Michael, and to go to you first,
thank you, Chair. Firstly, thank you for Carol's paper. It's really comprehensive. I've very nice points. It's a starting point. Chair, also, thank you very much for the reference for last week's meeting and support for going forward. That's really much appreciated. And that's really set my point around the challenges. There are lots of fantastic things that were done in here, and I think the board should probably see and celebrate and really publish celebrations in this year and around this year as we go forward. And it would be good to see that in some form of sort of outcome measure, if you like, in the grains of the things that we've already done well, let's celebrate those and these are the areas of focus that we still need to have perhaps from the next one.
I'd be very happy to, the next group says we're moving forward, to say, so here is the outcome from the work we've done over the last year or so. So we would put that in, we'll make sure we've got that in.
And then going forward, having a sort of outcome measure of those things that we'll be doing once we get guidance, once we get information, etc., etc., will really help. You know, just a couple of points, right? So we can actually look at what we're doing.
So I'm thinking that was where it's a slow time for John to move, but I think it might be quite nice once we get that map looked at, then asking just to look at the financial side of it, which kind of inform yourself about what we're going to team work we can do here, if you're happy with that. I thought I saw Michael, but I don't know if there's somebody else on the
Yes, I welcome this as well, and I welcome your comments, Carol. I particularly want to home in on Appendix A, which was particularly the integrated mental health provision, because I do fly that flag, and it's very important to fly. I particularly have a lot of concerns about the review of mental health day services, because I think we do need day provision. We know that some of the day provision has not worked, but it's actually what we're going to do now. And especially if you're going to have services like the Safe Haven, where you know people are coming in to that are at crisis, suicidal, etc. They need somewhere to go during the day to be able to get through that and provision. And I think that needs to be urgent, I think, within the next year, if we get that in place, that there aren't people falling through the gaps. And also, we've got to look on a recovery-based outcomes about adult education, because the adult education has got smaller and smaller and smaller on the island, And adult education is a big stepping stone to recovery. It gets people that have been out of work into work and science. So that's a particular.
This is about BCF funding. So
the last question I just want to raise.
Pause your second.
Yeah, this is about BCF funding.
So you've got the information, obviously, we're focused on BCF funding.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying there has to be some link or
it's not funding the whole world.
Points made, go to the last one.
The last point I want to make, moving on to older adults, the reality is the Ageing Better programme, which brought in a huge amount of money through the lottery, is in the penultimate year or is it actually going? That's going to lose nearly £1 million a year. That have been provided some very important and invasive services. So my question, I suppose, is how is the Better Care Fund going to respond to that? Because I'm under the belief that the lottery is not going to put any more money in after that day.
So, good point. It may not be relevant to the Better Care Fund. So, carry on reading what you're saying, aren't you?
Sure. So,
do you want to just briefly...
Being worried about both those issues and mental health. So I'm really aware that of the concerns around changes to our mental health day services. Very, very mindful of that. So there are two things which will be really following up with that alacrity. The first is there are 48 people who use 3-day services that are run by adult social care. It's a small number. Over 50% of those are well into their elder years. So we have expanded the use of Adelaide and Goulding's in terms of day service provision there for elders. And that those are, one's the east, one's the west, they cover the totality of the island. So we will be working very closely with each and every of those 48 people to ensure we don't somehow stop service and thereby, make their lives worse in doing so. So we'll be working very much. As I say, over 50%, there's 48 people, are elderly, well into their elderly years, some of them, and therefore we need to be looking at, could we ensure that actually Adelaide Buildings, and they're used to dealing with people, it may be sort of more organic issues that they deal with rather than functional, but actually they're used to dealing with people with dementias and other behaviours which can, on occasion, challenge. So we will ensure that that's the case. The second is that we have already started this. Adult Social Care is currently funding and spending £3.2 million per annum on 123 people who are subject to Section 117. And our practice around that, both within adult social care, but also within our mental health services, we need to be reviewing that practice because too many of those people have never come off of those Section 117s. And the vast majority of them are living in residential care. One person, for instance, has been subject to a Section 117 for more than 38 years uninterrupted. That's very unusual in the decades I've worked in this sector. So we're wanting to use any savings that we can get from that to reinvest further down. That's very much part of precisely what's in the blueprint. So in terms of what we're doing for day services, I truly believe it follows the philosophy and the principles of the blueprint, which is more efficient spend right at that, what we're calling the red, right at that top end, in order, because quite frankly, resources are limited, in order to be able to move further downstream around that prevention. So that's the mental health. I hope I've answered your questions as well as maybe assuaged the concerns that I know you genuinely have, Councillor. Just in terms of funding for the VCS and withdrawal of when you get 3 year, it's 5.2 million for AGK, fantastic, piece of work from them that came in. I think that we have to be looking at how we can work together to be chasing other pots of money which are out there. There's one thing between you get a bid and it's really clear you've got the bid with the expectation that is then mainstreamed by the public sector afterwards. That is not the case in this particular programme. That's not to say this programme's been anything other than it's brought, for heaven's sake, thanks to the hard and good work and sheer brilliance of Age UK and its managers, it's brought £5.2 million into this island over a three-year period. However, gone are the days, because of austerity, where we can always say, we just have to be very real about this, that actually public sector finances can make, you know, can do that, apart from where it's a joint bid and it's been really, really clear that that's the expectation of the public purse. So to answer your question there, we're going to be looking through the BCF. It's a vital part of the work that we've been doing as a local care board. We are all absolutely obsessed, and I think that's the right word, with ensuring that we make that shift into the community. We are all determined that the way in which we have been working, and I do think the Living Well Services are a really good example of how we've been co-producing with the voluntary community centre in a very innovative way, with them also working together in a single totality. For me, that's the future. And I know that I speak on behalf of the totality of the care board, particularly our cabinet member who's leading that work on early health and prevention, that we want to work differently in terms of having longer term contracts with our BCS providers when they're there, and then actually co-produce. So that we're really good at grabbing any extra bits of money which are out there, coming from government, coming from industry, wherever it's coming from. But I can't guarantee you that I'm going to pick that up because I have not the ability to do so in my budget at the moment.
So,
can I just clarify as well that the paper that was written on early intervention, Councillor Lilley is aware that it was written by Joe Dare from Age UK and Mike Bulpit from Community Action, and that will be looking towards the local for funding from the BCF, but also what we're doing with the Living Well scheme, that I think we shouldn't underestimate how much we are doing at this moment. What we do need to have is joint working and joint funding on the basis of the BCF, because then it makes it very hard for anybody to withdraw when we have commissioned the services that we need.
Thank you. That's quite a lot of information for the
panel, isn't it?
The key things I picked up from that, the BCF going forward, and we're going to come back to this board for sign off anyway. John's going to have a look at the BCF expenditures to give us a bit of a refresh on that. Carol was highlighting the importance of investment in places like the Adelaide and the Goblin. And whilst we have a range of £5 million, I'm very excited on the fact that Clare's made an extremely good case for ensuring that we do invest in those premises, because we feel it is important to our stability insurance. And we're also adopting it, Cabinet at the end of the day, in fact, that how we can make sure there's an appropriate contingency which allows us to give us the underpinning safety on this area. Because we do, I don't know what Carol said, this is such a crucial area. So certainly from the council point of view, that's where we're going. And I know from the Exxon meeting I did earlier in the week, there's a lot of good work going on. The public can drown in all the detail, but professionals around this table will be reassured of what they've heard. Okay, so we'll just ask the note back. Are we happy with that? Thank you, Carol, for that.